What's up, McConaugheads? Welcome to the Mastering McConaughey podcast, where we explore the filmography and philosophy of Matthew McConaughey. I'm your guest host, Johnny.
And I'm your guest host, Mark. Welcome, everybody, to Tiptoes.
Keep going, era, era.
My name is McConaughey. I'm here to say I played a dwarf in a minor way.
Why a minor way?
I was going to say major way. But
oh, but then it would have been like a tall joke.
They're little people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fucking. Yeah. Well, Mark, what are we doing?
Well, for one, Johnny, we're in the same room again.
Yeah.
For the second time. So that's fun. Like that energy. And yeah, we're going to do something a little special today. We're going to talk about the movie as we watch it.
No way.
Is this news to you? Okay. All right. And because we were afraid that this movie was going to be so bad, we planned on doing a power hour, but you're doing Heart 75.
Yes. 75 hard.
Oh, okay. Whatever. So you can't have alcohol.
Correct.
So you're eating some chocolates.
I did. I had some chocolates. More probably than I should have, but you don't get a trophy for second, Mark. Okay.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Got to break a few eggs to make a...
I wanted to say hamster.
Make a hamster.
Yes, so we are selling... I'm so excited we're here together.
Too. Me too. My version of the power hour, because I don't think my stomach can take five beers, is I've made five cocktails. It's in a big Stanley, whatever they call this, you know, the ubiquitous Stanley thing.
You know, looking at it now, we probably should have gone with something clear.
Yeah. Yeah, that probably would have been good. But yeah, so we're just going to kind of jump into it, make comments where we can, and throw in some little tidbits. Hopefully it's a good episode. Would you say so?
I would say so.
Okay.
Dude, I keep forgetting that this is recorded and not live on air.
Like that I could edit this stuff out.
Like I don't have to like try to like eye something to it's not necessary. Okay. So Mark, let's hit play, see what happens, see where this story takes us.
I'm ready.
My God. Mark, this is so difficult.
What?
I keep forgetting I'm talking to you.
Who do you think you're talking to?
I feel like I'm on the show with Lizzie. And, like, it's being recorded, and it's just going to be out there.
Oh, yeah. Y'all record. Y'all video record.
Welcome back to the Modern Real Estate Agents with Johnny and Lizzie Phillips.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
What?
I feel like that's what it is. I feel like I'm talking to an audience. I forget I'm talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't make any sense because when I talk on the podcast with Lizzie, I'm talking to her.
You had too much chocolate already, bud. All right, let's hit play on this thing.
Let's do it.
Can we talk about this font on the credits?
Okay, I had a big problem with this font because... one, it's just a little weird with the A's and then the big ass fucking letters.
Yeah, like the Q and the G are giant. I don't...
Why? Why?
The O expanded in Tiptoes. Like, why?
I wonder if they're trying to play on the fact that little people look wider proportionally.
A little squatty.
That's what, I mean, only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
Could be. Her pregnant belly.
Look at that back tattoo. Tramp stamp.
Everything about this is so insane. Like, it really is just so 90s, right? She's wearing camo. This is not the only pair of camo she wears.
Right.
Is that a bikini top that we're, it is actually.
Yeah, I think so. And the low rise pants that she wears.
The pants.
That's definitely 99 to 2002.
Like, even the color of her makeup.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. What a jackass.
Yeah, for not inviting her to his family thing. Is that what you're talking about?
Nope. Nope. I was thinking about the blowjob.
Oh, he's turning down a blowjob.
I know we haven't gotten there yet, but.
Here she goes, down on her knees.
Look how happy she is.
I need you to trust me. Do not get pain on me.
She's offering and he's looking at his watch like he's got places to go. She pulls his pants down. I didn't notice that last time.
Dude, she wants it. She wants it hard.
She unbuttoned his pants and dropped them. Yeah, we were talking about things that dated this movie. Came out September 8th, 2002.
That would have put me as a sophomore in high school, I think.
Freshman. Here we see Gary Oldman taking a piss by the side of the road.
I can't even take a piss straight. I'm vibrating to fucking death here.
He's obviously not grabbing his dick, though.
No. He kind of looked like a puppet there, doesn't
yes.
he?
Yes.
So, yeah,
absolutely.
So, Gary is obviously not a little person.
Right.
And, the first time I watched this, it didn't look as crazy to me. But now, I'm comparing, like, the arm sizes, you know, them beside each other. It's just so obvious.
We'll see it later, but when he's sitting on the couch, and Gary Oldman is obviously inside the couch, and they've got fake legs with giant boots. He's got like size 10 boots or something. Makes no sense.
We're going to have to look closely at that. I saw someone talking about how in that scene, those were actually CGI'd on there. Yeah.
On the couch?
On the couch.
Oh, what? I don't think so.
Oh, she made a very convincing argument. She zoomed in and the coloring was wrong in the background. I don't know.
All right, here's McConaughey coming into the LPDL Gala Banquet.
Please welcome Matthew McConaughey.
Little People Defense League. And we should say that, as the movie points out, midget is an offensive term for little people. Seems like little people is the preferred term, but dwarf is okay. And it's dwarfism.
Where did the term midget come from?
It's Latin for, I have no idea. I have no idea.
It seems to me like you're an expert, Mark.
You know, you associate that with, midget wrestling and, you know, right? They're like.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Clowns or animals or something, not people. So, yeah, so we'll be referring to folks as little people and dwarves.
Absolutely. By the way. Great band name.
What was it?
The Lobsters.
Well, McConaughey's name is Steven. In Wedding Planner, wasn't his name Steve? Dr. Steve?
You're the guy.
Steve Edison. I'm the supervising pediatrician here.
Maybe?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right on that, actually. Yep.
Here's this busty lady. She was on Seinfeld.
What?
Debbie Lee Carrington. Yeah, the episodes where Kramer and his little person friend, they're acting.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Tammy.
You look different.
Have you been working out? Well, whatever it is you're doing, keep doing it. You look great.
And he ends up wearing shoes with like elevators in them.
Nope. I did not. I don't think I saw that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she's the love interest in that that episode or episodes. Oh, here comes the chicken dance. Remember from EdTV?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Hmm.
There it is. And we say it all the time, but I mean, McConaughey comes through in all of his roles, like the real person. There he is, just doing the chicken dance.
That guy is legend.
Okay, so here's Rolf outside of the gala. He's late. Why won't he go inside?
I don't know. I love that line. Oh, man.
The asshole is the strongest muscle in the human body.
Yes.
Hey, the asshole is the strongest muscle in the human body.
Yes. Dude, I heard a dozen people talk about that one line, and I look for it now. And I'm sorry, I just talked over another good one. How she justifies how she's about to go rob these people.
Yeah, eat food. You said food is plentiful. God wants me to eat. Yeah.
100%.
Hey, you can't steal food. Food's from God. It's plentiful. God wants me to eat.
I'm sitting here waiting to see the motorized cart with two people on it go by. Did you see that?
No. Oh, yeah. Peter Dinklage plays a Frenchman, which I don't know why he needs to be French.
He really leaned into it, though. He nailed it.
There they are.
That's it. That's the one.
That's fun. They alleged that we were stealing food.
How are they going to steal food at a gala? Isn't that like everybody eats?
Well, I guess you got to have a ticket to get in, maybe.
I mean, I guess.
And it was then she ran into a daughter stealing some coconut shrimp.
I bet Dinklage could have slipped in, but he's got a big person with him, so.
Mm.
Uh-oh, yep. Shirtless scene. McConaughey in his whitey tighties. Look at that six pack.
Okay, so when I watched it the first time.
Look at that penis.
That's what I saw. I was like, good God. Would you think that's real or prosthetic?
I don't know. I'll ask him when I meet him.
Okay, do it.
And now, a word from our friends.
No, I don't have any friends.
You're the only friends I got out here.
Hey, everyone. Mark here. And I wanted to tell you about a new podcast that I'm hosting. It's called The Double Take, co-hosted by Terrence Jordan. He and I, together, we talk about our favorite rewatchable movies. We try our best to bring our unique insight, and we do as much deep dive and behind-the-scene moments that you didn't even know existed. So if you like movies, give us a listen. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts. But to make it easy, you can find the links in the show notes for this episode. So remember, The Double Take. Check us out. And now back to the show.
Can you imagine being engaged to someone and they say, yes, I have a family, but you can't meet them? And then say, I'm going to an event tonight with my family, but you can't come. Like, it's close enough where I can drive there and drive back in one evening, but no, you can't come.
Right.
Like, would you accept that?
It would definitely be suspicious, Mark. That's super suspicious.
Yeah. And here they're talking about, no, I'm not cheating. She's like, no, I know you're not, but.
Yeah.
But of course, later, you know, she's never met McConaughey's family, has never seen any pictures of him, nothing. And then Rolf just walks up and says, hey, I'm Steve's brother. He goes, oh, come on in.
She was very accepting of this. Okay.
Like, lady, you're about to get murdered.
I'm his twin. I'm a dwarf. You don't know me? What?
Yeah, she just lets it happen.
Mm.
I think maybe I'm pregnant.
Uh-oh, P word.
As someone who has had those words uttered to me,
mm-hmm.
There's no maybe pregnant. You either are pregnant or are not pregnant.
We've been using protections. Yeah, except for those two or three times a week when you wake me up in the middle of the night. He looks like a deer in the headlights, that's for sure. So this movie is 90 minutes long, but the guy who wrote and directed it, Matthew Bright. Yeah, Matthew Bright. His original cut was 2.5 hours.
And you were saying a producer.
Yeah, so Matthew Bright came up with this script, I guess, when he was 18, wanted mm-hmm. to make it for forever. And it was like 25 plus years later. A guy and his wife who made a shit ton of money off of Cops, the show Cops.
Right. Yeah.
Funded him. But they did not like his 2.5 hour cut and kicked him off the film in the editing bay.
Now, I heard when I was watching, someone was talking about how someone used a
pseudonym.
A pseudonym. Yeah. Who was that?
That was Matthew Bright.
That's what I thought. Right.
Yeah. So he wanted his name off the film.
Right.
And sometimes writers and directors, they can do that. They can just use a pseudonym. But he couldn't get his name off of the directing credit because he wasn't a member of the Directors Guild.
Right.
So the writer is Bill Wiener. and then he's, yeah. And then I guess Matthew Bright's name is there for director. But so I read that Peter Dinklage liked the director's cut. He really loved it. And then he was like, yeah, this 90-minute version, they turned it into a rom-com.
Yeah.
Which we had a discussion about that earlier. You take umbrage with someone who would call this a rom-com. Is that right?
I do. I do have a problem with this being called a rom-com because it does not fit the profile. Okay. It doesn't fit the normal bridge.
But we have Peter Dinklage stalking Patricia Arquette like she's prey. That's sexy.
They end up together until they don't, just like the other couple.
That's true.
That is not a rom-com. Does not fit the mold.
Okay. All right. So Peter Dinklage and Patricia Arquette are in the motel room drinking. This is a good time to tell everybody what I'm drinking tonight.
Mark, what are you drinking tonight?
I believe this beverage has produced an emotional response.
I have a pint and a pickled egg.
And red wine is the worst for my sores.
You think maybe you and I can brew up some juice?
So Peter Dinklage is drinking an original creation of his. It's imported cherry-flavored morphine syrup from France mixed with cognac.
Hmm. So you have that?
I do. I have morphine syrup. got it on Amazon. No problem. Now, I've got a Negroni, which is red. About the color of their little creation there. So that's what I'm drinking.
I love it. I love it.
And as we discussed, Johnny, you're not drinking tonight.
I'm not. I'm on my second LaCroix. So I've just got some waters here, but I am flying high as a kite.
LaCroix, is that French? LaCroix?
LaCroix?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it fits.
Absolutely. I bet it's Marxist also.
Mm-hmm. One of the lines that stood out to me is about to come here. They call it little people shit.
What? So the hump that we are seeing right here.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is the director, the artist... They wanted to put that there to make the weird feet coming out of his butt look more possible.
The feet coming out of his butt?
Yeah.
I mean, he does have quite a limp, walks with a cane.
But look at his butt. Okay.
When?
When it's a side profile.
Okay.
And it's very triangular, right? Like his feet are just kind of poking the pants out.
Okay.
So there's something to watch out for.
Okay.
It's just little people shit.
He's got ulcers, herniated disc. It's just little people shit.
So I do think this movie set out to kind of be informational about little people, right?
Absolutely. I think this was originally done, to be educational and to help people understand about little people. But again, that would be the director's cut.
Right.
Whereas what we're watching is not that.
Well, right now we're learning that Peter Dinklage has all these different health problems, herniated disc, ulcers. And of course we can see Gary Oldman.
Oh, wow.
Do you see the triangular butt? Where are his feet?
Well, I didn't notice the CGI the first time, but boy, you could see the pants, his jeans.
Yep.
So I think this was trying to highlight the difficulties, the health difficulties of being a little person. But this chick looks like Marilyn Monroe, doesn't she? I mean,
she does.
That's the aesthetic she's going for. Yeah.
Yeah. No, she really does. Now, why is she dressed up like that?
She's like in a negligee. She's got her hair all curled and I don't know. Maybe she's waiting for her man to come home.
I have heard it theorized that she is actually a prostitute.
Oh. That would make sense. She's very loose throughout the movie.
She is, but that's her prerogative.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
This guy.
I will pay you back in your G-spot.
And someone wrote that line. Someone had to write that line first.
Yeah, with a straight face, they presented this to other people and said, make my movie. So, Johnny, this movie got great reviews on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really? Tell me all about it.
Tomato meter, 20%. Audience score, 23.
Wow.
IMDb gave it 4.2.
Well, that's the outlier.
Not to spoil anything, but I'm pretty much right in between there. So.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
What is this man doing in your bedroom?
It's none of your business, okay?
No, I want to know now why this man is in your bedroom.
It's because we are gonna fuck, okay? Is that what you want to know?
Adrigi, we're not fucking.
But all those things that you told me in the darkness, you said I was the sexiest stud you had. You told me I was a hunk, Sally.
Shut the fuck up!
Gary Oldman just got slapped across the face.
In a while, man, this ain't gonna seem roll. Like such
don't,
a big
deal.
Don't. You're back, Sally! You fucking
whore! Oh, that's how I drag Liam. All right, now this is coming up. This is my favorite scene. Look at that strong ass woman.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that thing's got to be a third of her body weight, maybe? A fifth of her body weight?
Right.
That big stereo?
A three-piece stereo?
That'd be difficult for me to pick up. And, I mean, manhandle like that.
Well, little people, strong people work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is it like your senses? When you lose a sense, your other senses are better? Is it something like that?
Are you calling their height a sense that they don't have?
I don't know what I'm saying. Okay, I've already talked about Kate Beckinsale's tramp stamp. What is this awful tattoo on her arm?
I can't identify it. She has either she does or McConaughey has a really bad cross also.
Okay. Yeah, Kate Beckinsale's an artist, so maybe they're trying to, you know, the tattoos are supposed to make her artsy.
Definitely.
I don't know. And here we're learning that McConaughey, Steve, he's a firefighter instructor.
Let's go, Chuck. Let's go. You think you got what it takes to be a firefighter, Chuck? I don't think so. Come on, fat boy. Didn't I tell you to lose some of that blubber 4 months ago?
Okay, do you see his mouth?
Yeah.
It's just like in Frailty.
Mm-hmm. It looks like it's got dip in, yeah.
She just opens the door.
Walks away. Come on in. Come on in, whoever you are.
Hi.
Hi.
Is Steven still around?
Oh, no. He left already. Who are you?
I'm Ralph. I'm his brother. Listen, Carol, you think I could come in? I'm a little messed up right now.
Now, this outfit made me think that she was just someone who went through and started grabbing stuff out of a Hot Topic.
Oh, for sure.
That's what I see here.
Was it Sunpac? Was that a store that was in the mall too? No? PacSun. There you go, PacSun.
It was PacSun. That was it.
Yeah, she's got another bikini top. So maybe she goes to PacSun and Hot Topic just exclusively. Oh, look at that coffee table in the way. So you can't see Rolf's legs. You know, Dinklage said, you know, someone playing a little person in this way is kind of like wearing blackface, mm-hmm. but it's Gary Oldman, so he's like a legend. He can do whatever he wants. But I don't know.
It was strange that, you know, they did this movie trying to highlight little people, but they didn't cast a little person as the lead role.
Right. You know, Elf was in 03. We saw Dinklage in that. But I wonder what his star power was at this point.
Right.
But I thought this, and I'm sure you thought this too, and I think I saw it in a couple of videos. People are like, why wasn't Dinklage cast as the main person?
It would make so much sense.
Yeah.
Right. But he did nail his character 1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Uh-oh, here we are, a couch scene.
Now, look at his crazy tube legs.
Yeah.
Those.
I think they're prosthetics.
Absolutely. Right? Those are not real legs.
The giant boots. Oh, what is that tattoo on her back?
It's huge. Ginormous.
In college, I sat behind a chick who had a giant angel wings on her back.
No way.
Yeah. Very trashy. I've also seen a woman with a full back tattoo of a Waffle House sign.
No.
The base of the sign goes all the way down her back and like little bits of grass at the bottom.
Bullshit. God.
Look at that cooter.
Did you say look at that cooter?
Look at that cooter. See right down. But she's not a prostitute, but she does have cornrows and is trying to heal Peter Dinklage with crystals.
Hippie, I believe, is what they were going for.
Oh, hippie. Okay. Who the fuck is this guy, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
And then like weird leopard print. Oh, there's the cross tattoo on Peter Dinklage.
Mm. Yeah. I'm trying to remember what that hairstyle was called. It was a bald mullet.
Huh?
This guy's hair.
Mm-hmm. I think I have that same revolver. But it's hammerless.
Do you think it would be too heavy for a little person in real life?
That revolver, or just you mean a bigger gun?
That revolver is what I was inquiring about.
Oh, no. He'd be fine with that. Okay, here's the part of the movie we can use the M word.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you could have let me know that everyone in your family's a midget.
Well, they're not midgets, Carol. They're dwarfs.
Whatever.
I thought this exchange was really neat because she just didn't hear him say, we don't use midgets anymore.
Yeah. Well, they're not midgets, Carol. They're dwarfs. Okay, she wears two hats in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read that
she
took SAG minimum?
Wait.
She took the minimum amount of pay? in exchange for being able to wear her lucky hat. I don't know if it's this hat or the other one. This was probably the more ridiculous looking hat, like a night stocking nightcap.
Yes.
He's sitting here trying to gaslight her.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you feel any better. I was going to tell you.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so why didn't you?
I don't know. I guess I didn't think it was that important, you know?
You didn't think it was important?
I'm not so passing judgment on you, Carol.
I don't know why I didn't mention that my whole family are dwarves. Boy, he is gaslighting. She's eating it up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit, dude. I'm almost done.
No way.
We're half an hour into the movie. All right, here's where we learn Steven's hang up. He is not okay with having a little person for a child.
Which would be an unreal part of this character's actual personality. If his twin brother was a little person, his parents were little people, he goes to Little People Defense League events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and his character would have just embraced it, right? Because that was his life. That's what he knew.
Well, we just saw Peter Dinklage, you know, dealing with those health issues. And later he talks about how Rolf was in pain for the first several years of his life, right? I mean,
yeah.
Because mm-hmm. your organs and things are too big for your body. So in that way, he's seen the pain.
Right.
And he doesn't want to see it again. He doesn't want to have to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me where you come from.
Well, my body's originally from New York. But I've been commuting for the last 3 years in Phoenix.
Why did they film from this angle? Because of her teeth. They look awful right there.
I agree. And I was surprised, honestly, that that she, as an actress, you know, wouldn't use braces on that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they just could have had her head turned the other way and it wouldn't have been so obvious, you know? But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Now, I believe in the trailer, they build this as his greatest acting.
Achievement.
Yeah.
Role of a lifetime.
That was it. The role of a lifetime.
I'm a motherfucker. I'm a dick too. Yeah. I'm a fuckwad. I'm a fucking fart.
I'm a fucking fart. Yeah. I kept seeing things saying quotations, role of a lifetime, Gary Oldman's quote, role of a lifetime, but I could never find a video or a source where he said that. But I don't know. I've seen some behind the scenes footage and I mean, he really got into it, you know, just the way even that he holds his hands and his arms right. to mm-hmm. make it look like he's a little person. And I mean, I think he really did put his heart and soul into this role.
But. I believe he really did. But why cast him as a little person?
I don't know. All right, so they're talking about the pregnancy. Carol, Kate Beckinsale, and Rolf are talking about it. She says, well, Steven's a normal-sized guy. Maybe your child won't. You know, will also be normal-sized. And we were talking earlier. I was reading an article trying to figure it out. And dominant and recessive genes, and I could not. I could not decipher it. But you seem to have a better understanding of it.
Well, all I learned was there are two different types of dwarfisms. And in both of those cases, because Matthew McConaughey's character is a normie,
mm-hmm.
and she, Carol, is a normie, that there's no, it's the possibility of having a dwarf is next to nothing.
Mm. Look at those pants. I'm surprised we can't see her bush. They're so low. But you remember like Britney Spears? This was that time.
Yes, those low ride.
Like mm-hmm. no hips.
Nope. They're coming back around. We're
really?
Oh yeah. They're back.
I love that little bar cart. There's her other bad hat.
So in this final cut that we got, this scene was seen as the one that really delivered the message.
If I have this baby and it turns out to be little, what does that mean in terms of raising him?
Like, this scene carried the message that little people are just like normal people.
Mm.
Like, but because everything was trimmed so much, it's just, it's separate from the rest of the movie because this is just the scene that is educational.
I think what Carol's thinking about is the medical aspects of the situation.
Yeah, that's totally what I'm thinking about.
It does seem very intentional. So yeah, Rolf and Carol were having a conversation about, oh, is my child going to be a little person? He says, well, let me take you somewhere. He goes to...
Right.
Is it? No, his uncle's house.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting at a table outdoors, and they're just kind of spouting off facts to her about, you know, what it's like to be a little person.
There's nothing about being little that precludes being happy or productive.
Yeah, look at us.
Yes, sir.
This is a weird look at.
Mm-hmm.
This is like axe murderer.
I see a 1-900 number.
Yeah. Hi, Steven. Have you been thinking about things? He's asleep on the couch. God, they were so nice.
He's asleep on the couch. Oh, baby, why is that a problem? You know, one time I was driving around in this town and saw, they said, call this number to learn more about this house for sale.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And I called and it was a sex line. And so I turned back around and I had called like, what? I called 1-800 instead of 1-888. But the rest of the number was right.
No.
Yeah. What?
That's incredible.
Press 1 now to talk to hot chicks, baby.
Livelinks. There's a lot of really nice guys out there who really like to talk.
I just want to know how much the house cost.
Did you press 1?
No, I hung up immediately. I was like, what did I do? I'm on a list. Okay. So McConaughey and Carol just had a difficult conversation over the phone. She convinces him to leave his, like, teaching session, firefighter teaching session, and come to a little person party.
Right.
And McConaughey immediately invites two hot female recruits to the party. And that never pays off in any way.
What do you think he was trying to do there?
That's what I'm asking you. Because I'm sure something could have been cut. You know, maybe it pays off. But in a minute here, we see she gets, Carol gets introduced to them and she pays it no mind.
Right.
Yeah. What do you think?
I have no idea.
Like, my initial thought was, oh, he's going to try to make her jealous or try to push her away a little bit. But that never happens.
No. No. Yeah, no. I can't make any sense of it. Why was that decision made?
I don't get it. Yes, you are. Okay, so if I was in her situation, I would say, hi, nice to meet you. And then I would pull him aside and say, what the fuck?
Yes.
Okay, they mentioned Jerry Robin Jr. This is David Alan Greer.
Yes.
I don't understand what his role is. He looks like an evangelist, like a TV evangelist.
How'd they do the hair?
I don't. It's a wig.
Who's this guy doing?
Who?
Oh, God. Just. Oh, God.
Dude, this is like 50 little people.
That is. Are you saying that's a lot of little people?
Yeah, I'm saying there's not many jobs in Hollywood for little people, so it's pretty crazy they got this many people.
Yes.
What was that performance? My man can do what he wants to do.
Waving your finger in people's faces. It's rude.
Hey, you better back off, Goldie Hawn. My man can do what he wants to do.
Look at her clothes and her outfit changes. And just remember, she only had that one bag when she was thrown off the bus.
Yeah, like the round.
Yep. What was in there? How much could she possibly fit?
Well, it looks like she picked up these clothes off the side of the road, so who knows?
Barrel of a gun.
Political power. It grows out of the barrel of a gun.
Yeah, right.
I am French.
I am French, and I'm proud to be French.
Don't you bust on the sausage ball.
I am proud not to eat this disgusting swill. You people call cuisine. I am proud.
Did the amount of fucks stand out to you?
No, not until you said it. But as soon as you said it, it's like, yes.
Like, it didn't, it's not standing out to me now, but I mean, almost immediately, I think when Rolf is trying to pee on the side of the road, he's like, I can't fucking pee when people are watching or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Seems, I don't know. Some of it just didn't fit.
Well,
it's like they're trying to make it an adult movie.
So this was a rated R movie. It is a rated R movie.
Is it? Oh, I guess it has to be. Yeah. Okay.
And
it's a rated R movie. Dude, your eyes are so red. Like, legit.
I should have kept it in mind that anyone who meets you is gonna just automatically know that you got a twin brother who's a fucking midget.
He's a fucking midget.
Oh, we should be able to see Gary Oldman's legs here in just a second. All right, I finished my cocktails. My morphine syrup.
Morphine syrup. Now, in the previous exchange, when Carol offers the ride and Rolf says, I'll get a cab, were they saying that little people can't drive?
No, she drove. Carol drove him there in that bad red-colored Dodge Dakota.
Mm.
I'm going to run and get a beer.
Yes.
They put a lock on it.
Dude, I'm so sorry.
Why?
Because I am so high.
Doing good, man.
I don't know what you're going to do with this.
It's going great.
All right, we're starting back at Sally. You ready?
I'm ready. Look at that cooter.
So these guys were shagging in this glass box in the middle of this party.
Yeah.
Didn't bother to lock the doors or anything.
No. Yeah, it takes some courage.
But it does give evidence, or supporting evidence, at least, that she is playing a prostitute.
Yeah, for sure.
Rolf just caught Sally screwing Jerry Robin Jr. He's really broken up.
And yeah, this woman, Rolf, she and Rolf have been on and off since high school. So he just caught her shagging Dag, and now he's all broken up about it.
So it was pointed out that the age difference, the obvious physical.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, McConaughey and Oldman are playing twins.
Thank you.
And McConaughey is like 32, 30.
Yes.
You know, as this is being filmed. And Oldman, Gary Oldman, is 11 years older than McConaughey. I mean, he looks like he's 55 years old.
He does. He looks a lot more than that.
Seems like a, it seems like a don't do drugs video. When Rolf was a baby, he cried all the time. Why? Does being a little person hurt?
I can see it. If this was supposed to be a serious movie, this took a weird turn when she asked the sexual question.
Have you ever been involved with a little person sexually?
Yeah. So you had a circle jerk with a bunch of little people?
See? Could have done without this scene.
Was it you had a circle jerk with a bunch of little people? I would love to see that.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
And yeah, he says, no, I've never been involved with a little person sexually. Just kid stuff. 10 or 12 years old doing a circle jerk? Like, I don't know.
That's a little weird to me.
Yeah. They just pass it off as very normal. I don't know.
Nope.
Just the...
Nope.
Yeah. A little too blasé.
You know, the kids come over, we'd sit in a circle, play doctor and that kind of thing. Could have been more than 10 or 12, so that doesn't really count.
But kill your guy. All right, so Carol is telling him he needs to seek therapy because he's not excited about the possibility of having a little person for a child. And I guess we had some warning signs here because he gaslit her quite a bit. But now he's just going on full,
yes,
like defensive mode. Not going to see a shrink. No way.
I thought her costume here was quite peculiar. Her attire. She looks so put together, so pretty, except for that necklace. Why? She would look normal if you just took that away.
Like a leather choker. It looks, yes, so weird. Okay, so Carol's parents are coming over for a barbecue at Steven's parents' house. Carol was mad at Steven for not telling her that his family were all little people. And now she has invited her parents over and not told them. Like, I think the mom says it here in a second. Like, you could have warned us. I mean,
right.
Which is fair. Can we talk about this bar?
Why is it in the living room?
Well, I mean, that's where you entertain.
So while y'all drinking, let me have a 7 and 7.
There's a full bar.
Yeah.
No.
But it just looks really odd. It looks big. It looks like Gary Oldman is big until Carol goes over there and squats down. I don't know.
Less talk, more synthahol.
It really stood out to me, like, they're just hiding his legs. He's standing behind this bar. Yeah.
Definitely. Now, that exchange.
You could have prepared us for this, don't you think? I didn't think it was important.
And the next one.
So unless you can bring yourself to have a Jewish wedding, would you at least consider a civil ceremony? Otherwise, we won't be able to invite him.
Where the question is asked. Do you think those are the same conversations or two different conversations? Do you think the mom was saying you should have warned us that they're little people? Or you should have warned us that you're not Jewish?
That's a good question. What about Carol and her parents would make you think that they're Jewish?
Isn't that the question they're about to ask now?
Hmm?
Aren't they about to ask that question right now about doing a Jewish wedding?
Yeah. But I just mean, or I guess what I should have asked is, what about Stephen and Rolf's family makes you think they're not, that makes you think they're Catholic or not Jewish? I don't know. If the mother is Jewish, then the children are Jewish?
I have no idea.
I think so. So it doesn't really matter whether or not Stephen and his family are Jewish. But they're not. They're Catholic, apparently.
If he dies before they get married, can we switch back to Catholic?
Yeah, she... Okay, so the mom is pretty broken up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of the Jewish thing.
Right, yeah.
But where would it come from? We have no... There's no indication that there's anything about Jews or Catholics going on here.
Yep.
Okay, so I thought that those two conversations were separate, but they do... Yeah, I think you're... Well, you didn't say it. You asked. But I think they're connected.
Yep.
But I don't understand. Why would we, the viewers, like know that that was a thing?
Do you think that was some foreshadowing right there when they were exiting that last scene and they zoom in on Rolf? Like they go from the wedding party to Rolf, like they're foreshadowing Rolf is going to get involved?
I don't know, maybe.
Look at Dreds here. What a transition that character has made.
Look at that wedding dress. That's a waste of a wedding dress. Look at that belly.
Would not kick her out of bed.
You're starting to piss me off now.
And he says, Peter Dinklage says that marriage turns a lover into a family member.
Yes.
Well, all right.
Don't you ever think of marrying me?
Marriage is for morons. It turns a lover into a relative.
See, there we are again.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a couple of indications that Rolf might be pining over Carol a little bit. But it's not, I don't know, it's not so obvious. It's a little, yeah. But then she pays a lot of attention to Rolf too.
She does. She pays a lot of attention to him. And there is this kiss that's about to happen that is very inappropriate.
Does she kiss him?
I believe she does.
Why is her wedding dress see-through?
I had the same thought just then. I was like, wow, we just saw a lot there. There it is. That is a wildly inappropriate kiss.
Boy. If that wasn't on the lips, that was like, maybe her top lip was on his bottom lip.
Oh, no, that was on the lips. And then, it, you know, just for too long. Maybe if they pecked, they could get away with it, but no. No, there's something going on.
Yeah, that should have been a forehead kiss.
Question. Why did the doctor also have to be a little person?
Yeah, so Carol has given birth and the doctor is a little person. But, you know, you'll hear about a kid wants to become a heart specialist because his dad had a heart problem growing up or something, you know. So maybe that's what it was. And they've gone to a hospital that specializes. Why are you looking at me like that?
So you're trying to say that there's a hospital for little people and all the doctors are also little people.
All the nurses, all the security guards. No, I'm guessing that. You okay there?
Oh, God.
Okay, we just saw more little people in the hallway there. So I do think it's like maybe it's a specialized wing of a hospital or something. I don't know. You need to pause.
I'm okay. Why is that a fake baby?
It's not. not even a fake baby. That is a baby doll that they bought from Walmart the day before.
It is awful. I have had two babies, and they move so much more than that.
I mean, you can tell that that thing weighs a pound.
Right.
Yeah.
And they use that same or a different fake baby in another scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so stiff.
We're going to run some tests over the next few days. Vincent's going to have to stay here at the clinic. Then we'll start him on a long-term regimen that will keep him on through puberty.
Who looks more like they just gave birth here? Kate Beckinsale or Matthew McConaughey? I mean, he looks like he's been put through the ringer.
You make a very good point.
She looks cute.
She does.
He looks like he's on his deathbed.
No, that's not the girl from Lost, is it?
No, no. That's Elizabeth something. No, Kate Beckinsale's from Underworld.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's like a vampire hunter?
Yep.
Oh, no. There's stuffed animals amongst the weights.
What do you think that means?
Well, this is how I'm going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, McConaughey, he's now unraveling. He's unraveling because this baby is a little person, is a dwarf, and is going through all this pain. And this is what he was afraid of to begin with. Mm-hmm. And now he's about to run away from fatherhood.
Right.
I think he's just using that as an excuse. I think he enjoyed his life without a kid. Now he's got stuffed animals all over his weights, interfering, and this is not what he wanted. So I think he's using the dwarfism as an excuse.
Interesting.
What do I know?
I mean, you do know that even though he's gone through nothing, and she had the baby and is taking care of the baby, he's over here about to break up with her, and he's the piece of shit.
He is.
Why is he the one pussying out?
For real.
That's the question.
So he's just going to leave her with a baby who has special needs.
Correct.
I mean, I get it. If it's hard, like, I would rather not be there, but guess what? This is not something you can just bail on.
No.
This is not like, all right, we're going to totally redo the landscaping in the yard. And then you realize how hard it's going to be, how long it's going to take. You know what? I'm just going to bail. This is a kid.
100%.
Johnny, how many fingers do you have? I'm not sure you could tell me right now.
Why do you think Matthew McConaughey chose to take a role where he is the bad guy?
So I saw an interview with him after Reign of Fire, like as part of the press junket for Reign of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And the interviewer says, you know, you did this role and this role and this role. These are all very different. You know, are you just kind of taking whatever comes along? And he goes, yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm just getting myself out there. So maybe that's it.
That makes sense.
And I'm sure they paid him. So that would be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Although this is a busy time for him.
It is. This movie was a black stain on all of these actors and actresses. This is actually a very star-studded cast. So It echoed.
Yeah. All right. So after the fight with Steven, Carol has taken the child, whose name is Vincent, to the cabin where Rolf is staying with Peter Dinklage's character. I forget his name. The Frenchman.
Maurice.
Mon chéri.
Steven and I separated. I hope this isn't too much of an inconvenience.
No, not at all.
No, I feel like this was a hard turn in the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Where she just gets up and breaks up and is gone.
Yeah. Yeah, they cut an hour out of this thing, so I wonder. I wonder what they cut out in between that one fight.
Right, exactly.
And her just showing up at a cabin. And we are getting here close to the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find a McConaughey in this movie?
I just want to meet new people and do cool things. I thought, man, that is about the best reason to go and do something there is in life, isn't it?
Yes. For me, what I found, Mark, is there's a hidden message here, right? It's not just about treating little people with respect, but it's about loving your family.
Mm.
Because McConaughey's character should have just loved them because they're his family.
Yeah. I think it's pretty good. My McConaughey is, this is actually a quote from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Mm.
Discretion is the better part of valor. Just because they're going to pay you to do a movie doesn't mean you have to do the movie.
I agree.
I understand why Peter Dinklage would take it. It's a movie about little people. I mean, that's exciting.
Absolutely.
But Kate Beckinsale takes scale pay so that she can wear her lucky hat in one scene.
It doesn't make any sense.
Gary Oldman looks at this and says, this is going to be my career-defining role. Come on.
I don't know how they were filming this and thought this was going to be a blockbuster.
I don't either. No. Well, here we see Rolf coming in to take care of the baby. He's daddy material.
Yes, he is. He is there. He is helpful. He's the best chance she's got.
I mean, she's gorgeous. She could go out and find somebody.
Well, now she has a little person kid.
Stupid legs again. Giant boots.
And why? Why do we never, like, we get this view of a real baby, but all of this is fake baby. Why can't he just be holding the baby the whole time?
I mean, there are pretty strict rules about babies and kids, how long they can be on set and be on screen. Imagine they wanted to preserve the budget.
It's just so not lifelike. Leave me alone with your child.
I'm no expert on babies, but I think we got things covered here.
He's okay.
Thanks.
Good night.
I feel like there's an opportunity for this whole thing to go sideways and become a horror movie.
Yeah? What would happen next?
Well, look at him. You left your baby alone with me. I'm taking it back to my lair.
It definitely was weird. I was like, why are you just holding this kid now and insisting upon it?
Yep.
But yeah, nothing happens. Now here's Kate Beckinsale and her chunky clogs that are coming back in style. McConaughey looking great. Is that the same shirt he was wearing, or just the same shirt but different color that he was wearing at the party? It's the two-button polo with the pocket.
I don't know.
So McConaughey's coming to visit.
Dude, I thought that was someone standing behind me.
What? You saw a reflection?
No. You like cleared your throat?
Oh.
And I heard it. And I thought it scared me to death. I thought it was like a cleaner or something.
Oh, man. Yeah, so McConaughey's here after God knows how long saying, all right, well, you know, I want to be the man you want me to be. I'll change.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm working on it. I'm trying to be the man that you want me to.
You think she's had a nose job?
If she did, it's really good. I feel like she has a good nose.
Yeah, it looks just a little too perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So now McConaughey has abandoned his idea of becoming a better man just as quickly as he declared it.
I'm going to say goodbye to Vincent here and head on back to the city.
Still wearing his wedding ring.
I noticed that the first time around also. What do you think his intentions are long term?
I mean, I wonder if he just put it on to come here.
Mm-hmm.
Because he does seem to be trying to save the relationship. But
right.
When he realizes he has to put any amount of effort into it, he abandons the
Exactly. Episode. Yes.
And yeah, right now he's saying goodbye. He said goodbye to Vincent, the kid. Saying goodbye to Kate Beckinsale. And he's gone.
Yeah. Just keep thinking. I wonder if he's walking away because he knows he can come back around the other side.
The other side?
Correct.
What do you mean?
He volunteered to walk away very quickly, very easily.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't put up much of a fight. And I wonder if he was just knowing that to get back here, all he'd have to do is circle around.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You think, are you saying like when the kid gets older, he can just come back?
I don't know anymore.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Rolf and Carol held hands as McConaughey walked away. And now Rolf has woken up Kate Beckinsale and they're sitting by the fire outside.
They're really building this up.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm reminded of a line earlier in the movie where we were told that the anus is the strongest muscle in the body.
Mm-hmm. Why are you puckering up your asshole here?
I'm not sure why I'm reminded of that scene, but that's what I'm reminded of here.
Hey, the asshole is the strongest muscle in the human body.
You can kiss me if you want. And now they kiss.
And it is a long, passionate, and like they're not guessing around anymore. They're going into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes black.
Fini. Whatever they put at the end of the French movies.
La end.
Well, Johnny, we've been sitting here a while.
Yeah. Yep. It's been an hour and 26 minutes.
That's right. Well, do we want to review this film?
Yeah, I think we should. What are our symbols? What are our emblems this time?
I don't know. We could do it. We could do tight assholes. We could do bottles of cognac. We could do
little people.
We could do little people. We could do deadbeat dads. We could do...
Was there anything about a neighbor kid in this movie?
Why?
Nope, just made that up, the whole thing. Carry on.
You're thinking about that alien movie where the little black neighborhood kid ended up being an alien?
No.
The cricket alien?
That was not what I was thinking of at all. But I'm so glad that you know that movie because I think about it a lot.
I only know it because you talked about it in Contact. That's the only reason I know it exists.
Damn it. Okay, then you are my echo chamber. Damn it. Someone else has to tell me it's real. I can't believe you because you believe me.
I mean, I looked it up. I saw clips from it. I saw the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's real.
What is it?
I don't know. It's some bad CGI with the cricket aliens. You know, we could do oversized boots.
Mm.
We could do those weird motorcycle trikes.
Mm. Yes. Those were so strange.
They looked like a tank.
How do you think they got a license for that?
Yeah. Yeah, like how did, which county gave them registration?
Yes.
For these homemade motorcycle trikes.
That's it. Yeah. I don't know. Well, then we are going to rate it on a scale of trikes. I'm calling it. We're doing trikes.
All right. Doing trikes.
So, Mark, on a scale of 1 to 10 trikes, what do you give the movie?
I think I'd pay for 3 trikes to see this movie.
That's an interesting way to say that.
I give it 3 trikes. I was expecting this to be, you know, 13 conversations about one thing. You gave it 1 point for every million that it lost, which was, you know, so it was like less than, just under 1 is what you gave that movie. You know, I was expecting this to be a 1 or a 0.
Sure.
Yeah, there were some pretty big gaps. I mean, they cut out an hour. They recut the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've pointed out enough of the problems with it. Sure. You know, so it's definitely on the negative side, but it's watchable. I watched it yesterday and I watched it today with you. I mean, I'm not mad about it, you know? So yeah, I'm going to go with 3.
A 3.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
What about you?
I saw what they tried to do. I could see it.
Yeah.
And I think they should get points for doing something that probably at the time was could be radical.
Mm-hmm.
This could change lives, right? You know, so maybe as an independent film, it would get a higher score, but it's not. It had a bunch of really amazing actors and was produced by great producers. So no, we have to score it lower.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Wiener. But I'm gonna go 4.
Okay.
4.
Okay.
Yeah. Can't go lower in good conscience.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. What about McConaughey's performance?
I don't think was the carrying performance.
Right.
No.
You know, I thought his character, it was odd because he seemed to be this very put together, very mm-hmm. strong, nice, like great guy.
Right.
And then he's going through something and then he just like turns.
Completely unravels.
And he's, at the end here, we see Carol saying like, you got to get yourself together, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe I don't want his character to influence how I'm grading, you know, grading his acting.
Right.
I want to go 7, though. I don't want to go over super high.
Yeah.
How about you?
So this watch through, I paid particular attention
mm-hmm.
to his performance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, watching it the first time, I was like, this is the character that they're asking him to be a totally different mm-hmm. character. And we don't see the transition. I'm sure it's because of the way it was cut.
Sure.
I think he acted it pretty well. There were some moments where I was like, all right. I'm gonna go with you. 7 homemade by a little person trikes.
Love it. 7 trikes.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. It was good. I don't think it was great, though.
No. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Yeah. You know, Johnny, this is part of our rom-com bracket, believe it or not.
I do not believe it. Don't be lost. Because it is not a rom-com.
So we'll check back in next episode on like where this lands in the rom-com bracket. But for now, you know, I've got a little journal entry for us.
Mark, would you please read today's journal entry?
That's the fun about journaling. There are no rules, all right?
All right, all right, all right.
Johnny, I had a wet dream.
Continue.
I'm just reading from green lights here. The man had a green light. Excuse me. The man had a wet dream. He's floating downstream on his back in the Amazon River, wrapped up by anacondas and pythons, surrounded by crocodiles, piranhas, and a few freshwater sharks. There were African tribesmen lined up shoulder to shoulder on the ridge to the left, just as far as his eyes could see. Anyway, he takes this wet dream literally and travels to Africa, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And meets up with a musician.
Okay.
And McConaughey asks the musician, you know, why do you only perform in West Africa and France? Because you're phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why don't you tour in other countries? Why don't you come to America? And the musician says, because there being anywhere else in the world,
mm-hmm.
because there I would be dried shit. Neither me nor my scent would stick with you. Here, in West Africa, mm-hmm. here I am wet shit. Both me and my scent stick with you.
That's a very weird analogy.
It is.
For someone to use.
I think the message there is, like, find your niche.
You know? Sure, yeah.
And maybe, especially if you're an artist, like, don't dilute your art.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, there are going to be consumers, customers, people who enjoy your art.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to change.
Right. Yeah, don't dilute it.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny, on a scale of 1 to in the clouds, how high are you? Because I can't see much of your eyes.
I'm just hoping you're not listening when I talk.
Your words are fine, but your eyes are like, you cannot keep them open. Any final thoughts on this movie, Johnny?
I just want the listeners to know that it's happening again where I think Mark's judging me.
Yeah, this happens. Do you always get paranoid?
I only do it around you.
So okay.
It could just be a you thing, or it could be an anyone thing, and you're just the only one around thing.
Okay.
littering
and smoking the reefer.
Before we go, you know, we've said that this was described as Gary Oldman's like performance of a lifetime or role of a lifetime. How did you, besides, it seemed very obvious to me that he was walking on his knees. It wasn't just that he had a limp with a cane. You
sure,
know?
Yeah.
But besides that, what did you think about his performance?
I mean, I think that he gave it everything he had.
Yeah.
I felt like he just poured himself into it, actually. And even after it came out and after the ridicule, I saw an interview with him, mm-hmm. and he still stood by the movie.
I agree with you 100% there. I mean, I think he did his job, and he did it well. Mm-hmm. I've seen some behind-the-scenes footage, and he was totally committed to this. Took it very seriously. And, of course, you would expect Gary Oldman to do so, but...
Absolutely.
The man did look 55.
Looked way too old to be Matthew McConaughey's twin brother.
He looked younger in the Batman films.
That's what I thought too.
They did have some prosthetics on his face, so I'm sure that added to it. Like his nose was bigger and knobby.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
Yeah. Huh. Well, Johnny, can I tell you what we're watching next time?
I'm not going to remember.
Okay. this is a lesser known McConaughey film. I know mm-hmm. we've just done a few of those in a row here. We got another one. It's How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Yeah, never heard
He's
of it.
He's fucking with us.
How to lose a guy in 10 days. Yes.
Yeah, the smash hit. How to lose a guy in 10 days. And we're hoping to have a special guest.
Yes, my wife is on fire about this idea. She's been waiting for this to come since we began.
Yeah.
And so you better believe she's going to be down there watching it with me in the basement. And she's going to come on the podcast, and we're just going to chat it up.
Hell yeah. Looking forward to it. Love your wife.
Ah, me too. Thank you.
She's got a lot to offer to this podcast for her How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days episode. So listen up next time. Mm-hmm. Before we go, I want to thank the listeners. I want to thank Holisna for our theme song, Hey Aqualung. Y'all follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Mastering Impod. We're also on YouTube. But getting some good traction there. Send your adulations, corrections, and hate mail to masteringimpod@gmail.com or call us and leave a voicemail. Listen to Johnny's other podcast, The Modern Real Estate Agents. He does that with his wife. You can hear them banter, and you might learn something along the way. If you like this episode, subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating, all that jazz. And we'll catch you next time as we talk about the little-known film, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Bye, y'all.
Goodbye.
'Ralphie! My friend, you are in the doghouse. Mom and Pop are pissed.
That's great. Steven, this is Maurice. Maurice is an asshole.
Who's up?
Hey, the asshole is the strongest muscle in the human body.
Do you think there's any food left?
Oh, man, I really couldn't tell you, man.
My name's Lucy.
Hi, Lucy.
Hey, don't go ripping off food now.
Hey, you can't steal food. Food's from God. It's plentiful. God wants me to Money. Eat.
And now, a word from our friends.
No, I don't have any friends.
You're the only friends I got out here.
Hey, everyone. Mark here. And I wanted to tell you about a new podcast that I'm hosting. It's called The Double Take, co-hosted by Terrence Jordan. He and I, together, we talk about our favorite rewatchable movies. We try our best to bring our unique insight, and we do as much deep dive and behind-the-scenes moments that you didn't even know existed. So if you like movies, give us a listen. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts, but to make it easy, you can find the links in the show notes for this episode. So remember, The Double Take, check us out, and now back to the show.